Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening. Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP. This is your guest host, Attorney Jim Ruggiero, filling in for Lori. Lori, we hope you're having a good vacation. So you can find us on the web at www.yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen online at www.wdiy.org. Today is July 19th, 2017, and it is hot and steamy out there. Our topic tonight is a hot topic as well, navigating the elder care maze. We are live tonight, and we will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening and will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without delay and we can talk without confusion. The number is 610-758-8810. So again, we want you to feel free to call in. And tonight, my guest is Teresa Kuhar from ICOR. She and I will be discussing how to navigate the elder care maze. If you have questions, please feel free to call in. We want to take the calls live on air. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori, who will bring it into the studio. So if you do get a call and it wants to be marked on air, we will listen to you live, or if not, we'll put it off there. So now I would like to talk to you about Teresa. She is an RN, BSN, and she is the Managing Director of ICOR of Bucks and Lehigh County. She serves ICOR clients as a patient advocate, oversees the nursing staff, coordinates staffing, and serves as a resource for the nurses. Teresa makes a point of meeting each new client at their initial assessment and is always available for any questions and concerns. A magna cum laude graduate of Holy Family University, Teresa holds a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. She has over 15 years' experience, including 12 years in critical care and emergency nursing, as well as neurology, maternal, fetal nursing, and nursing education. Teresa also served as an adjunct faculty member of Holy Family University School of Nursing. She is a member of the International Nursing Honor Society, Sigma Theta Tau, and the National Scholastic Honor Society of Catholic Colleges and Universities, Delta Epsilon Sigma. She is active in her Lions Club as publicity chair and will serve as secretary for District 14A in the 2017-18 service year. Teresa and her husband are proud parents of six children and enjoy spending time together camping, volunteering for the church, and scouting activities. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you.
If you could, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be at ICOR and what you do there.
All righty. Sure. Oh, it's a pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you so much. As you read, I have a background in emergency nursing. I spent a dozen years in a hospital in Eastern Montgomery County, primarily in the ER. And ER is itself an interesting animal because you never know what's going to come into the door next. And I think it prepared me well for my career now with ICOR because no 2 days are ever alike, so as are no two clients. So you have to think fast and, you know, be creative and have a lot of empathy for folks. And I really enjoy what I do. I enjoyed my time in critical care. I actually was assaulted at one point in the ER about 11 years into my career. And, about 11. And had some major damage done to my back. And that is what really took me out of the hospital setting or out of bedside nursing because after six procedures, My neurosurgeon said, well, you can have major reconstruction or you can reinvent how you do nursing. And I happened to find an ad as an RN advocate, local website. Larry Enright, my partner, was looking for help, and I answered that. And I had just recently taken care of my father, who unfortunately had passed away a few months before that. And it gave me a whole new appreciation for advocacy and what families go through, because my father had very complex medical issues and required a lot of intense juggling to get everything under control and keep the path clear and keep him well. So I think that ultimately brought me to realizing that advocacy was the right thing for me. And so I chose to reinvent myself, and now here I am a few years later and loving every moment of it.
Well, that's terrific. Larry is a great person, and we wish you well, Larry. Sorry you couldn't be here with us as well tonight.
Yeah.
But this is a chance for us to get to know Teresa better and learn more about iCor. And your personal experiences are important for our audience, because navigating the maze of caring for elderly parents is something that we've been through in our family, mm-hmm. and had to caregive for parents and still take care a little bit of our 83-year-old father-in-law. When you look at all these things, he's pretty independent, lives alone, and drives and manages pretty well.
Wonderful.
But we all see families go through stages the last 10 years. My parents weren't able to really drive very well, and when my father lost his license, all of a sudden that was a big moment in losing independence and mobility. So, we as families get a little bit bewildered. You know, we're wondering, what options are out there. Things become uncertain when all of a sudden we have a loved one who becomes ill or disabled. So we have lots of concerns. And so one of the things, we'd like to know more about your skill sets is, Where do we begin to find resources for my mother? How do I pay for care for my dad after he gets released from the hospital? Lots of times clients have questions of, what does Medicare pay for? Simple things like that. We ask, is there a will in place? Is there a power of attorney? What are the finances available for care? Many times as adult children, we don't know what our parents have in the way of resources because they're stoic.
Yes.
The quiet generation. So we look at family caregiving with life expectancy. It's risen 60% in the last century. So our parents are living longer.
Yeah.
And so we as children are living longer too. So the real need for the continuum of care and what changes over a period of time are things that we have to assess. We talk more today in the elder law space about life care planning. It's just not just doing planning essentials. There's, from the legal standpoint, you have to look at the medical, the health care, the care management. So tonight, let's discuss planning essentials. We'll talk some legal, but I really want to talk more about medical and health planning.
Sure.
Life transition planning and care management, because this audience has heard me talk about legal in the past, and, we're happy to answer any questions. But I really want to focus about, if you can talk about family caregivers, who are they and what do they worry about?
Great question. And absolutely, we are facing so many more challenges, I think. Our society is so much more mobile than it used to be. Before, families would be born, grow up, have families of their own, and pass away all within the same community. And that was considered normal. And nowadays, we have families that are spread out across the country and even globally. So when, the exciting part is that, we get to travel and see each other and see new places. But then when something happens, that thrill becomes a terror. Because now, maybe mom and dad are in Bethlehem, but one son's in Denver, another's in Florida, the daughter is up in Maine. And who's going to take care of mom and dad? So a lot of times our caregivers are the closest person geographically to mom and dad. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best equipped for any number of reasons. And sometimes there's nobody even around. So that presents its own hurdle. and hence the increased need for professional care managers like myself. So, you know, that's a good starting point to think about.
And we're going to cut to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about more professional caregiving.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Hey, we're back here in the studio tonight. Our topic, navigating the elder care maze. Jim Ruggiero filling in for Lori Siebert. We've got Teresa Kohar from ICOR together with myself. If you have any questions, the number is 610-758-8810. Teresa, before we took our first break, we were just starting to talk about how professional caregivers can help family caregivers.
Sure. So, as I was saying, people can be spread out all over, or they could, you know, they could be local. But the other thing that you mentioned in the first segment was how much more complex the situation is, too, because we're living longer. So medical science has been able to lengthen the lifespan, but that means that people are much more sick and living longer. And between those issues, that's where professional care management can really step in and be a tremendous help. I know with ICOR, with our company, all of our care managers are registered nurses with a minimum of 10 years of experience. So we bring to the table a clinical base that the ordinary person wouldn't have, and a better understanding of the bigger picture of those complex medical issues and what impact they can have on a person's life. We can kind of, if you would, see into the future because we know the sequelae, the natural order of things and the way that these processes usually work. We also speak the doctor's language, so we're very good interpreters. That's often foreign language.
And that is very important. And as a lawyer, I often get accused of talking in a foreign language myself. But when we do go into a doctor's office, they are talking in terms that they're used to speaking on a regular basis. But us lay people aren't used to hearing those. And lots of times it's an accident or a medical diagnosis that thrusts mm-hmm. us into the doctor's office with one of our parents as a family caregiver. So, you know, what would we do? How should we get started? What would you suggest?
So I think, you know, a lot of people, almost everyone really comes to us with that same thing. Where do we start? And there are three questions that are really key. And they relate well to the nursing process. And you'll have to forgive me, but everything I do, I relate to the nursing process.
It's okay. Everything I do relates to the legal process. It's okay.
So the first, it's really a triage issue. What's the burning thing right in front of you? What must I do now? So, you know, mom and dad might have a myriad of problems, but if they're not breathing, well, that's number one. But what must I do now? And then prioritizing, what can I do later? You know, what can we sort of, okay, we're aware it's here, but it is not a threat at this time. It's just something that needs to be addressed eventually. And then who are the right people to put in place? Who else can do this? A lot of times family are very well equipped, and certainly we want to have family in the positions that they want to be in, that they feel confident in, to help mom and dad as they age. But certainly knowing our limitations is also essential. Better to speak up ahead of time and say, okay, I'm familiar with this, but I don't feel real confident with it. Let's get a professional in who can support me in this or handle the situation altogether. Really, a good care manager is going to be able to kind of get the lay of the land pretty quickly. Of course, they're going to be able to work with the client first and foremost and prioritize what's going on, but then help the family and become part of the team. It's not an an all-or-nothing proposition. It really should be a team approach, not only for practical reasons, but, I mean, this is mom and dad's life. And as they age, making sure that those relationships are intact, or, as, you know, that they're in as best a shape as they can be, and utilizing that really is optimal for everyone.
You make a great point there, and one of the reasons why having a team is so important is we get back to how the diaspora of our children occurs. At one point, I had one of 17 first cousins, and we were all in the same Catholic elementary school together. Today, I'm the only one that still lives in the hometown. There are California, Virginia, New Jersey, Indiana, different parts of Pennsylvania. But you had six kids. You could share the duties of checking in on mom or dad.
Yeah.
Someone is more suited to go to the doctor because they have a healthcare background. Someone has a finance background. They're more suited to help take care of paying the bills. And then you've got someone who wants to make sure that mom and dad are properly taken care of and get their meals and things like that. But when you have, you know, one child in California, one on Mars, and another close by but busy raising their own family, it's just not that easy.
Right.
So getting organized is really important. So, you know, let's talk about how you help recommend families get organized.
Okay, sure. So, you know, it starts with our assessment process. When we come in, we look at all the factors that are impacting a person's life, their environment, their relationships. I also use the fancy term psychosocial situation, their medical issues, and their finances. What are their resources? A lot of people don't want to talk about money, and I understand that. But if we know what you want, but we don't know if you have the resources to support it. If you do, fabulous. If you don't, then we need to figure out, okay, here's the life that mom or dad envisions for themselves. Here's the resources they have available. How do we get what they want to be? How do we get as close to that as we possibly can, given the resources that they have? So really, it starts with an honest conversation, as in a non-threatening environment where you can sit down and talk about, okay, where are we at? Where do we want to be? And how do we get there? And then make a list. What do we need to do? What are the tasks involved? What records do we need to gather? You know, we need to get the financial information. And like you said, you touch on all those documents, powers of attorney. Do we need a trust? Does mom or dad have a living will? Have we talked about end of life? Make a list and then calmly start to think about, okay, what order do we need to do these in? And then go from there.
And as a lawyer, I say the first priority is to make sure you get your estate planning documents in place. But I realize that it's just all part of the things that you have to put on your checklist. And starting the conversation is sometimes the most difficult first step.
Mm-hmm.
But once you can start that conversation, I think you really have to explain to mom or dad, you're not there to all of a sudden, as a caregiver, make all their decisions for them.
Mm-hmm.
Your role is to understand what decisions they would make for themselves and help those decisions get carried out.
Right.
And when we look at it, I always say you've got to step into the shoes of the person you're caring for and act as if they would.
Yeah.
So it is important because sometimes a simple list of who are the doctors hasn't been made.
Mm-hmm.
How many medicines are taken in a day or a week, just a list of something like that. If you're the caregiver and you're named in your family's legal documents, it's important to, number one, know where are copies of the healthcare power of attorney? Where is a copy of the living will? Is there a HIPAA release? Where are these advanced directives? When you need them, you really need them, and you need them to put your hands on them.
Yes.
And lots of times families may have done planning, but they don't know where the documents are because it's been so long since they have done, you know, the planning or review of the planning. So you really need to get a handle on, you know, a status check.
Sure.
See, are these things still viable? And part of putting your plan together is you may need to put an update in place. So when we're coming back for our break, which we're about to go to, we want to talk about what should a caregiver be doing, how to make a good caregiver notebook.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. I'm your guest host, Jim Ruggiero. My guest, Teresa Kaur from ICOR, and I are discussing navigating the elder care maze. If you have questions, the number is 610-758-8810. We're taking your calls live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C., who will bring it into the studio. So we were talking about caregivers, and I said we're going to talk about making a caregiver notebook.
Yes, yes.
And so the question is, well, what should a caregiver notebook be? Well, you could just get a five-star notebook, a three-ring binder, something that will enable you to make a record of what you're doing on behalf of your loved one on a daily basis, take doctor's notes with you when you're there, so that if you have to pass it off to a sibling, there's the notebook.
Yes.
How are things today?
Exactly.
So these are some of the things that we recommend when we're working with caregivers. We want to have them start to establish a log, because there's a lot of time that it takes to be a caregiver. And all of a sudden, you might realize that I'm spending so much time doing this, maybe it does make sense to bring in outside help.
Right.
If you start to look at things.
Yes.
So part of getting organized, one of the things that we do for our clients is we put their advanced directives online through an electronic vault called a legal vault, where they're able to get 24/7 access to a living will or healthcare directive, such as a HIPAA release or a limited durable power of attorney for healthcare. So they have 24/7 access to this.
Right.
With today's modern technology, you should always be able to access mom or dad's healthcare directives in an emergency. It's just a question of, do you have it in the cloud somewhere where you can retrieve it, have it on a thumb drive? No one's going to carry around papers everywhere with the documents, but you should be able to access it simply. So let's talk about how we can help prevent crises.
Sure.
And protect caregivers or the at-home spouse.
Absolutely. You know, it all comes down to prepare ahead of time. When I was working in the ER, people would say to me all the time, you know, I never expected to be here today. I can't believe I'm sitting in the ER. And I said, well, that's because they call it the emergency room for a reason, not the I planned for this room. And, you know, it make people chuckle and kind of break the ice a little bit, but it's true. You need to prepare now before a crisis hits. Of course, we're more than happy to come in and work with you in a crisis. One of the reasons that it's good to have experienced nurses on board is because we do come in, we can really quickly sum up the situation, sort of do a triage and get in there and help start putting out those fires. But really, if you can do it in a time that's non-threatening, when everything is going at its best, that's the time that you need to get these things done. We, too, with ICOR, have a database we call DataCore, which is our whole business is based on that, our nurses' notes, all of your documents. We're big advocates for people working with attorneys and accountants to get their affairs in order when they don't need to. And then we also can store things like that so that our nurses have access to it. Family, you know, we can assist them in times of crisis so that we can. Sometimes we head off a crisis, but they do inevitably occur. You're prepared because you've got all of that in order.
You know, I often get questions, well, how's all this going to occur, Jim? What, you know, type of transition management can you help families with? We always oftentimes see families when it's time to make the move, mm-hmm. where we have a widower who has tried to live at home independently, but they're not able to do it anymore. And so The question is, what's the best way to handle transitions? And What do you look for in helping advising families on handling those transitions?
Oh, sure. So, again, comes back to the assessment. Sometimes folks have resources that they weren't aware of, perhaps, say, veterans benefits or things like that, that provide them access to services that could keep them in their home potentially and prevent having to move. But in the event that a move were necessitated, perhaps to an assisted living or skilled facility, one of the nice things about having a professional care manager is that we can vet those providers for you, look into those background checks. You know, the reviews online are great, but let's face it, how honest and upfront are they? So we can go in and do a lot of that vetting process for them, pulling Medicare and health department inspection reports, fire reports for safety issues. All kinds of background checks that we can do to make sure that places really are up to snuff. And then, of course, working with the client to see what their interests are. You know, are they looking for a particular community that has certain activities, or do they need a certain skill set in the nursing staff that's there because of a particular medical issue that they have, things like that. So that we can find them the place that will best suit their needs, make them feel at home, and, you know, take care of them the way that they deserve to be taken care of.
Can we describe for audience the three basic levels of care outside of the home that you see clients end up having to go to or have no choice but go to?
So you mean like if they're at home and they're
living,
going to be, okay, right.
Assisted living and skilled
sure.
nursing.
Sure, okay. So, so independent living really, can take on a variety of appearances. Most people think, okay, mom and dad are home in their house. Well, that is one of them. There are places called CCRCs, Continuing Care Retirement Communities, that offer different levels of care within that same community. And when you buy into one of those, you start out with independent usually, where you pretty much come and go and live your life as needed, but there are services available and activities and things like that that come with being a resident in that community. And then the nice thing is there's a guarantee that if and when you need to progress to a higher level of care, you are guaranteed a spot within that community.
And then, so let me focus on that one nice thing that I always point out to families.
Sure.
There's a community.
Yes.
One of the things that I see people stuck in their house of 40 years alone, you kind of stagnate a bit. And you lack that social interaction that we need as a group of humans. We grow up in a community. Some of us want to be around other people. And that is one of the nice things about an independent living
absolutely.
Spot inside of a CCR, that you have communal dining. You're not just eating home alone in front of the television, some meal that one of your children made or something that you nuked up in the microwave. And there's a lot of emotional support that we can derive from being part of the community. And I think our clients lots of times get cut off, and we like to advise, it's good to make the move while you're able to choose to go to the next level of care, whether it's from your house to an independent facility or going from an independent to an assisted living situation. These are important things to know. That also, you mentioned veterans benefits and aid in attendance benefits that are available to wartime veterans or their spouses. Mm-hmm. We're going to go for a break in a little bit, but when we come back, about how it's important to understand that those benefits can help you stay in your home longer,
mm-hmm.
can help you stay in an independent living situation longer. They can help pay for an assisted living place to stay where you will be able to get more help but still have a better quality of life.
Yes.
So combined with Social Security, combined with your pension, that aid and attendance benefit can be really meaningful to a family. So let's touch on that when we get back from our next break.
Sure.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. The time is now 6:30. Your current Lehigh Valley weather tonight is partly cloudy with the low around 70. Thursday, sunny with the high near 92. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with the low around 70. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with the high near 90. Back to your financial choices.
Welcome back to your financial choices. Again, I'm your guest host, Jim Ruggiero. Our guest, Teresa Kaur from ICAR, and I are discussing navigating the elder care maze. If you have questions, the number is 610-758-8810. Again, we're taking your calls live on air. So I know it's summertime and people are enjoying the warm weather, but we're still happy to take your calls. So before we went to break, we were talking about different levels of care, whether it be living in an independent living facility that's part of a continuing care retirement community or going to the next level, which is assisted living. And then the final spot in one of those communities would be a skilled facility. But, you know, the goal for all families, no one ever has voluntarily wanted to ever leave their home.
Mm.
No one ever said, sometimes people want to downsize, other people get attached. I just have a college roommate who moved to an apartment, got tired of the big house.
Wow.
So he's down sized and made his commute easier, so you don't have to be retired to downsize.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to enjoy life better. But being part of a community, he's moving into the city, so there's a lot more social interaction available. But a family member who moves out of the house but moves into an independent living facility is going to be able to have more of that. Lots of times people get scared of whether or not they can afford things. So if you have the aid and attendance benefit that could be available to your family, it's important to know about it. If your parent is a wartime veteran or you're the spouse of a wartime veteran, that benefit is there to help assist to keep you in your home longer, to pay for care in home, such as ICOR is able to provide to keep someone in a house longer, to keep someone in an apartment longer, or keep them in an assisted living facility. So just don't think all of these things are unobtainable. You have to investigate what is out there. So it's part of the conversation. Mom and dad's money is there for their retirement. So in my mind, the first thing their money should be spent on is making sure they are safe and the most comfortable place to live for the rest of their lives. If there's anything left, that's great. That's a bonus.
That is one of the things that we have to carefully navigate sometimes. I'm glad you brought that up, is occasionally, thankfully not too often, we do run into families where one family member feels that they're resistant to having mom or dad's money spent on mom and dad's care, and it's not always for the best of reasons, shall we say. So thankfully that's rare, but it does happen. And the nice thing with having professional help is that we can kind of be that objective third party person to sit down and have a conversation that we can direct, and I've done it, to get everybody on the same page, to understand that mom and dad, you know, need their resources, and that, you know, why mom and dad need them, where the money is going, why it's being spent this way. These are all, and sometimes, you know, even in the best of family situations, there can be, it's a delicate conversation, and you know, every family has its own communication style. So having a third party person come in and kind of sit down and navigate that conversation can be a relationship saver. And at the end of the day, that's a really good thing. It's a really good peace of mind thing to get out of the way for mom and dad, is knowing that all the kids understand what's going on and that they're all okay with it, or at least they have they can come to an agreement on why choices are being made the way they're being made. And it takes the pressure off any one individual family member to be the good guy or the bad guy. You know what I mean? It's such a family dynamic sensitivity.
I understand what you're talking about here, because I encounter it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I was giving a presentation in the last couple months, and the lovely woman who was in her 80s came up to me and said she was worried about running out of money.
Mm.
She was living at a continuing care retirement facility. She was in the assisted living range, and she was able to pay for her monthly bills. And I said, well, you're going to run out of money if you live to 110. But she was worried about not having money for her 60-year-old son to inherit after she was gone.
Yeah.
And it's a hard conversation to have sometimes. Parents do so much for their children, but when you have a 60-year-old child, that child is an adult. And that child is responsible for taking care of his or her own retirement.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that have worked hard their entire lives and sacrificed for themselves to give to their children. But at some point, the children have to become the parents.
Yeah.
And I think that we sometimes are reluctant as parents to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not spending your retirement money on you and your retirement because you're worrying about your children, I would submit to you that that's not logical.
Exactly.
And I always start with the premise of whenever we're representing mom or dad, the first thing we need to do is make sure they're safe.
Yes.
So when we're talking about safety, it's having a group like ICOR being able to provide the services and do the analysis of what's needed inside the home.
Right.
To make the home safe as possible. To putting that list together. Is the fire insurance in place? Mm-hmm. Is the car insurance in place? Sometimes bills have been missed. Did they pay, supplement payment for the Medigap insurance?
Oh, essential.
And these things get overlooked. So, bookkeeping services become important for seniors. So knowing that you have the money and being able to pay the bills is important. That's why I always say it's important to have a general durable power of attorney in place for an agent to be able to make payments on behalf of a loved one. And you can use an independent third party such as ICOR. A guy like Larry Enright can help pay the bills on behalf of someone at home. But we do worry about children who have not been put in the best financial situation because they've been unemployed, disabled, so that they're not wanting to take care of mom and dad the way they're able to be taken care of because they want to take care of themselves first.
Yeah.
And so we do see some elder abuse occur.
Mm-hmm.
Not often, but it is out there and it is a worry. And with people being out of work for longer periods of time, they get a little bit more desperate. And so they're trying to count on mom and dad who are in their 70s or 80s to help support people in their 40s and their 50s.
Yeah.
And it gets tough. So it's not something that we come across regularly. And usually you'll see in a big family, there's always one person that has their hand out, perhaps more than others. And so with a third party such as yourselves, are you able to recognize that, see those signs when you're inside the house?
Yeah, we actually attend regular ongoing education. And one of the topics that we really focus on is elder abuse. There are always new scams coming out, whether it's the internet or the phone calls, this is the IRS, or, hey, this is your grandson, Johnny. I'm locked up such and such. I need money. Wire it to me. But we're always staying on top of that kind of stuff. And honestly, in my own life, my father, unfortunately, in the year before he died, was taken advantage of by an individual outside of the family. So we were able to bring in, we actually put my dad in protective custody with tripping on the office name, but
Office of the Aging.
Thank you. Yeah, Office of Aging and Adult Services. Thank you, and had them open a fraud investigation that protected him, And it was kind of strange to have to do that. But again, you do what you have to do at the time, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. And I have done it for other clients as well. When you see predatory behavior, it's very frightening. It may look very subtle. It may look very loving. It may make you scratch your head and think, well, maybe I'm overreaching or, you know, I'm not seeing this. But, you know, our elderly are some of our silent victims in society, and they have rights that are often overlooked because people don't take things seriously. And identifying that and moving on it is something that we don't hesitate to do ever.
And that's really important. I see oftentimes families are reluctant to act against the bad actor in the family. And sometimes it's a while before any bad conduct gets discovered because someone is in a position of trust and they continually take care of mom or dad over the years and they don't share information with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
One of the things that you have to build into the process is the safety net to have a third party be able to review financial records, get an accounting from an agent of what's happening. And if you're the agent under the power of attorney, we advise that you share with your siblings what actions you're taking on mom and dad's behalf. Or if you're part of a family caregiving unit, but you're not the one taking care of the financial decisions and bill paying, we recommend that you get regular accountings from the sibling that's doing that, just so that as a team, you've got someone taking care of the medical, you've got someone taking care of the financial, but you've got to interact. You can't work in silos. And that's the nice thing about having a third party come in. And, you know, when my family was getting sick and needed care, sometimes we would be out of town. So we relied on a service like iCor to be able to take mom or dad to the doctor and be able to come back and give us a report.
Sure.
I vividly remember when my children were young, we took the big 2-week trip to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, neat.
And while we were gone, my father had surgery for glaucoma.
Oh.
But he developed a subsequent infection.
Oh, my.
And again, I had the brother on Mars and the sister in California. So if it wasn't for that advocate, that geriatric care manager for my father, she was able to take him down to Wills Eye Hospital and get that specialty treatment that he needed. And then for a week, he had to have eye drops put in his eye for 24 hours a day and had to have someone come in and do all those things. And we were on the big family vacation. The Brady Bunch went to the Grand Canyon, and we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
We weren't there. But for a company like iCor doing something like that, we would have been stuck. So when we talk about having a planning team, one of the best things that you've talked about today for me is you do the planning when you're not in time of crisis.
Yes.
So you put together the attorney, the financial advisor, the home health care, the care management team, know who the bookkeeper is or the CPA. So there's lots of resources out there for caregivers. What do you recommend to point some people in the right direction to take a look at?
I like how you mentioned a notebook. Actually sitting down and getting that started, writing things down, making my friends tease me because I'm addicted to binders and office supplies, but organization is so important. And I think if you sit down and you make careful notes and discuss as you go, you can identify what your issues are, and then pulling those, then you'll be able to identify what team members you need. Maybe mom and dad have an accountant, you didn't know about it. My kids are all reaching adulthood now, and they were stunned to find out that I've had an accountant for 20 years. That was a revelation to them, you know?
I thought you just did it all, Mom. You did the taxes, too.
Yeah, that mom can do the taxes, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell them, you know, I can calculate the most incredible IV drips to keep your kidneys going when your heart's failing, but don't ask me to balance the checkbook, you know? So, you know, but finding out what mom and dad have, getting that all down and then building the team from there. If they, you know, don't have an accountant, fine, you know, get one. And you really want to look for professionals who are familiar with the issues that touch the elderly population in general, or specifically, rather. So you don't take you know, when you take your car to the mechanic and you have a transmission problem, he sends you to the transmission guy because that's what they do. So you don't just go to a personal injury lawyer because you want a will made out. So you need to find professionals, get recommendations from friends, from people that you trust and respect, business associates. Who do they use? Nurses have a thing that I'll tell you about when we come back from our break.
Terrific. Look forward to hearing about it.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. I'm your guest host, Jim Ruggiero. My guest is Teresa Kuhar, Managing Director of ICOR of Bucks and Lehigh Counties. So if you have any questions, our number is 610-758-8810. And before we went to break, we were talking about how you have processes in place to, you know, make your binders and checklists
yes.
work, and what you nurses do that help with your care. You were
yes.
going to lead
I was
something.
I was saying, you know, of course, if you're using a care management team, then by all means, they have their processes in place. We have very specific vetting processes, but a little bit of a joke among nurses is that you go to the doctors that the nurses go to. If you want to find a good doc, ask a nurse.
That's more than a good joke. It's
it is sound advice. It is sound advice. But part of our processes process that we use, you know, with vetting, as I mentioned, facilities. We will also vet physicians. We'll look at their, you know, if they're board certified, what their training was, have they been published, where do they really specialize. So you want to get folks together who can handle the specific needs of mom and dad, and that's, you know, where the professional help is especially valuable. When you use a professional care management team, yes, there is a heavier expense up front, but if we're doing our job right, then once you get that foundation laid, the time that's needed for the care manager to be involved should dramatically lessen. And, you know, of course, if an emergency arises, that's different, but you know, you get that upfront foundation established, and then it's pretty peaceful from there on. And really, if you're doing it right, you shouldn't need to be involved on a regular basis any more than the client would want you to be. Some folks like to have their care managers go with them to every doctor visit, you know, to really be very hands-on. Other folks prefer to have just a touch-in every month, or depends, you know, again, customizing to what the person needs or desires. But that should really take care of getting those fires under control, getting them put out, and getting life back on track.
Well, I think it's great you point out the benefits of care management. I loved it when a geriatric care manager went with one of my parents to the doctor, because if we didn't have someone go with them, and usually would be you know, a child if we were available, if we had to work, we'd say, what did the doctor say? Everything's fine.
Yes.
What do you have to do? Nothing.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
good. Except, you know, every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, there's a different doctor and a different visit. You're never quite sure what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
You know, patients tell the doctor what they think the doctor wants to hear, and patients hear what they want to hear from the doctor. And that's not necessarily what was said or
yes.
what's really going on.
Yeah. You know, it's I sit in doctor's offices all the time. And when we first come in, they kind of look at care managers like, oh, Lord, what am I getting into now? What am I going to have to deal with? But once they see, because geriatric care management is still a regularly not routinely seen. It's still somewhat of a pioneer industry, but very necessary. Once they've had a couple of experiences with us, they're like, oh, thank God, are you coming to the next visit? Because they know we're going to come back, and here's the tests that you asked for, and here's how this medication's been working. And, you know, I did notice this particular side effect. Or they'll get a phone call saying, hey, we have a problem, long before a hospitalization needs to happen, to head that hospitalization off. And one of the things that makes me nuts is I remember especially with my dad, and it's really grown from there, and I really emphasize it with all of our nurses. A lot of times, as mom and dad age, they kind of take a back seat in their own doctor appointment and their own participation in their care. And docs will tend to talk to the son or the daughter or the nurse that's present, and I will physically drag their eyes with my eyes back to the real person that they're there for and say, okay, what do you think, you know, Mrs. Smith, and bring them into the conversation, because they still need to be that vital heart of their own care.
They are the stakeholder. And speaking of stakeholders, audience, it's not too late to call in. 610-758-8810. We're still here available to take your questions as we're getting towards the last couple of minutes of the show. But it's important to understand, caregivers, you're charged with care management. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great way to do it. When we talk about the spectrum of planning that has to occur, it's not just legal, it's medical, it's day-to-day life transition management. You know, part of the circle of life comes death, and lots of times families never talk about their wishes at the end of their life. And it's important, I think, from someone who's lived through it, to think about pre-planning a funeral and letting your loved ones know whether you want a service, whether you want a viewing, whether you want a wake, would you like to be buried? Would you like to be cremated? I mean, this is just part of the planning continuum. And we all want to live to be 100, and not all of us, but die in our own beds with a smile on our faces. Good care management can help make that possible.
Right.
Good planning can make that possible. But there are caregiver support groups out there. It's important for them to know. Do you have any caregiver support groups that you recommend?
The Alzheimer's Association, for those that are impacted by that terrible disease, is a phenomenal organization. They have so much to offer and so many different facets of what it takes to be a caregiver of someone, particularly with Alzheimer's disease.
I think they're great. I also think that there's a lot of great Parkinson's support groups out there. It's important to understand. And I think one area that is often overlooked is there are some widow or widowers groups out there that I think are important for people to participate in, because having to deal with grief after we lose a loved one is something we're not taught.
Yes.
And we have to deal with the loss of people we love. And the more we love them, the more we grieve.
Yeah.
So part of good planning has to be able to realize that the funeral home might provide grief counseling as part of the service. The hospice through the hospital may offer grief counseling after your loved one dies. So we have to plan for these eventualities. When I talk to my clients about their legal documents and putting together a living will and a healthcare power of attorney and a general durable power of attorney and their last will and testament, I say there's 100% probability that we're all going to die. So we know you're going to use the will at some point.
Right.
We put these other documents in place, and they're there in case of emergency.
Yeah.
We hope you never need them. But using a care manager is planning for an emergency before it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to see that come in. You know, sometimes it's important to realize I'm not able to do this 24/7. And there's where ICOR can help with that, right?
It's really important that family gets to be family, that a daughter can be a daughter and a son can be a son, and that they don't have to be home health aide or chaplain or accountant, that they can just be themselves and enjoy that rich, wonderful time as the end of life approaches, to say what needs to be said and to take those little visits and possibly a trip or different things and not have to be embroiled in the day-to-day minutiae of what it takes to always be a caregiver. Everybody needs a break. Everybody needs to shut off now and then. And it's the beauty of what I do is that I can give that. I feel like that's almost a part of a gift that I'm giving back to the family, is that I can kind of lift some of that burden off their shoulders and let them be son and daughter and mom and dad.
You've stated that so eloquently. I believe everything you just said with all my heart, because I see caregivers get so stressed out with the care that they don't have time to be that son or daughter that they've always been. And our own familial experiences with caregiving, you know, we've been witness to that. And then you wake up one day and you're like, I wish I spent more time being that son or daughter, and I could have had someone assist. We see families that take care of a loved one as they age in place and stay at home, but never bring in hospice ever, really come in for one day. So being organized is an important part of the caregiving job. Taking care of your loved one is, you know, something that you can do by delegating parts of the process, having the team together, such as ICOR, bringing together the financial advisor and the family lawyer. These are all parts of the team that help you with the care plan for your mom or dad's life.
Right.
Because it's their life.
Yes.
And the choices are to be made for their best interests. So you should, if you're going to be the caregiver, realize that you need to take the time to do the planning, because failing to plan is planning to fail.
Exactly.
So as we reach now towards the end of the show, how can our listeners get in touch with you? How do people reach you, Lori, as a managing director of ICOR of Bucks and Lehigh Counties? How can they get to you?
Well, we have two offices, one in Newtown and one in Center Valley. But we are always available. Telephone for our we have a toll-free number is 855-367-4567. But my cell phone is always available, 267-530-1709. And if you want to get more information on us without having to actually talk to anybody just yet, if you're not ready for that step, you can find us on the web at www.icorglobal.com. It's I-K-O-R, ICOR, Global, GLOBAL.com, and then /Newtown, NEWTON.
So, yes, and again, that web address is icorglobal.com/Newtown for everyone who is younger than a baby boomer, who does everything with their smartphone.
Well, you know, my 90-year-old great aunt, I think, is listening to this, and she's got her iPad. She's a wizard. So,
well, it's great to see folks adopting the use of technology and
absolutely
doing the best with it. So I want to thank our listeners and appreciate everyone for taking the time. I've been your guest host, Jim Ruggiero of Ruggiero Law Offices, LLC. For more information, you can also visit us at www.ruggierolaw.net. Next week, Lori returns and will discuss Investment Terms Revisited. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In Tradition, Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, stay cool, and have a great week.
This is WDIY Allentown. Your current temperature is 91. On Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 92. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 90. And Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 88. And for Saturday night, it's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and in lows around 69. Keep it here on WDIY.